Hello, welcome to the Thursday, July 2nd, 2015 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Cisco keeps finding and patching default SSH credentials in various devices it's selling. The last one here is the Unified Communications Domain Manager. It, just like we had before, has a default secret SSH key. Once someone knows this particular key, then of course they could log in into all of these devices. I've said it before, don't just apply the patch, also make sure that the admin console, whether it's SSH, whether it's HTTP, is not accessible from any IP address but the ones actually used by your administrators. And the FBI is investigating a string of intentional fiber cuts in the Bay Area. There are a total of 11 fiber cuts that are linked to this particular event, and they occurred over roughly the last year, the first one being July 6, 2014, and the last one this week. So about one fiber cut a month. Whoever did this did break into an underground vault where multiple fiber strands come together to cut all of these strands. In the last event, it was three different fiber bundles that were cut. They also needed some tools in order to cut through the conduit, since the fiber is somewhat protected in these walls. Of course, it doesn't really take a lot of technical skill to do this. Probably just a padlock or something like this that needs to be cut with a bolt cutter, and then maybe a saw or something like this to get to the actual fiber. The problem here, of course, is that it's almost impossible to protect all the fiber as it goes across the country, and that these attacks don't require any special skill, but can be quite costly to clean up after. And Windows 10 is just around the corner, and there is an interesting feature that caused some controversy this week, and that's Wi-Fi Sense. Now, the issue with Wi-Fi Sense is that it not only automatically accepts various EULAs as you are connecting to free access points, it also allows you to easily share the password that is required to log into WPA protected networks. Now, the way this works is when you connect to the network, you have to actually enable this feature. You have to check a checkbox telling Windows that you're willing to share this particular network's password, and then you can select who you want to share it with. This could be either your Outlook address book, or it could be your Skype friends or your Facebook friends. If one of these users now tries to connect to this particular network, then they essentially get the password to do so from you transparently without you having to spell it out. I think the defaults are okay here, but of course the problem is, what if you, as an operator of the Wi-Fi network, in particular in a small business or so, don't necessarily want all of your users, like your employees, to freely hand out the password for the Wi-Fi access point. Of course, they could still do so by writing it on a paper and handing it to their friend, but doing it with Wi-Fi Sense, of course, makes that maybe a little bit too easy. And Akamai released a paper with details about a new reflective denial of service attack they're seeing that uses RIP version 1. Now, RIP version 1 has been deprecated back in the late 90s. It actually works as a routing protocol only for classful networking. So the good old class A, class B networks and the like. It does not work with modern CIDRs, but apparently there are still a number of routers and, well, of course, little home routers that support this protocol. Doesn't actually appear to be user configurable, and the response is, well, similar to the good old DNS attacks, where you have a request coming in that's about 24 bytes of payload, and the response can be up to 504 bytes, and actually multiple packets of 504 bytes that are coming back. The request being sent essentially just asks the router for for all of the routes they have to offer, and then the list is coming back. Now, Akamai identified about 50,000 devices that could be used as a reflector. About 4,000 of these, or actually 3,000, are able to send 504 byte packets in response. RIP version 1 uses port 520, so that's probably the easiest way to identify and possibly block at least the attack, at least if you are a possible reflector. But aside from this, there isn't really much you can do once you are at the receiving side of an attack like this. These are, again, multi-gigabit per second attacks, so you need upstream help here to block these packets. Well, and that's it for today. Thanks for listening. There will be no podcast on Friday, so talk to you again on Monday, and have a good holiday weekend, at least if you are in the US. Bye.